it's time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio, and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And it's a good Tuesday afternoon, not soggy right now.
It is a good Tuesday. If you're here and we're talking, it's a good day.
Tuesday. That's right.
You never know it, especially your advanced age.
I know. That's something I'm starting to get. I don't like it, but I'm starting to get used to it. To hear people say, well, you know at your age.
Well, I'm sure I'll start hearing it in November when I hit 50.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty sure that I will be 50 this year. Unless something comes up, but Doctor, how do you do?
How did this guy get a license? That's what I want to know.
Well, he was a intern. You know, they got a lot of immigrants coming in, and he worked hard. He came over here.
And he didn't know what year it was?
Hold on.
Okay.
It was not this year. It was his penmanship. I told you that. Anyway, he well, you see doctors prescribe.
Oh, yeah. I had a prescription once. Took it to the pharmacy. It was supposed to be for an ear infection. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a stool softener.
Well, that's...
Oh, I went to my boss. I don't understand this. Every time I take this, I feel sick. She said, let me see it. What do you got this for? I said, well, that's what they gave me at the, you know.
Well, now they're all basically electronic.
Yes.
They send their prescriptions.
Yeah, they send it straight through, and they don't have to worry about deciphering hieroglyphs.
Well, once in a while. Well, even now they just give you a prescription typed out, which is the best thing. A stool softener.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, did it help your ears?
It did not. And neither did it help my stomach
either. I thought maybe.
Because I didn't even need a stool softener when they gave it.
Well,
so guess what? It worked.
It worked. Well, that was prescription strength stool softener.
It was.
And,
yeah, because they got these over-the-counter stuff.
And you would think if it softened the stool, it would soften your earwax. I was just thinking, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought you really needed this, and indirectly it would have softened up your earwax, and then it would have fell out. But that was not the
case. As long as it doesn't fall off.
Well, you don't want your ear falling off.
No, I don't want my ear falling off. I have a hard enough time hearing.
What?
Well, that's my wife.
Well, it's selective hearing.
That's okay. She has selective hearing, too. She keeps asking the same question several times, and then when I get a little terse with the answer, the same answer,
yes,
and then it comes back on me.
It's that terse.
Yes.
I don't know. There's just certain things that women can do better.
She asked me the same question three times.
So?
I gave her the same answer three times.
Yeah.
But each time, you know, the first time was okay, the second time was okay, the third time, I wanted to say, you know, I answered that twice. I should have said that. And that would, but then that would have been being sarcasm and being bad.
Yeah.
So no, she took me to task for.
I've done that a few times and she says, why do I even bother talking to you?
Well, that was one of the responses she gave me.
Anyway, so, well, I'm glad. Did you finally have your earwax problem taken care of?
I did.
You use a shop vac.
Sometimes I think it could do it for mine. But again, I'm afraid it might take my ear, too. So it's got to be a low-level shop vac. Can't be a high-power one.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
I think that, you know, I have one thing here. Before we get into it, we're going to do the Cleveland scandals.
Infamy.
Ohio. Ohio.
Yeah,
it's all Ohio.
Yeah, it's basically all Ohio, yes.
Before we get into that, I'm starting to feel like athletes are guilty until proven innocent. Now, another player, and it goes back to our friend, the pitcher, Mr. Bauer. Washington Commodores have released kicker Brandon McManus days after he was accused of sexual assault in a lawsuit. the team announced in the release Sunday. On Monday, ESPN reported two women were suing McManus for incidents that occurred when he was a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. During a team flight to London during 2023 season, the women alleged McManus grinded on them during the flight and that the team failed to supervise McManus as well as create a safe environment for the flight staff. Now, you shouldn't do that, but
he grinded. And these were flight attendants?
These were flight attendants.
Probably on a
charter. Like, they have never...
Well, as a charter, I would imagine, if it's a team flight, right? I mean, they were...
Probably, yeah.
Because sometimes they fly over to London and play games over there. I don't know if that was the situation.
Yeah, well, that's what it was. It was a team. They're absolutely fictitious and monstrously false allegations made by a part of a campaign to defame and disparage a talented and well-respected NFL player who I never heard of before, his lawyer said.
Oh. Well.
The claims truly are an extortion attempt. So.
It's, you know, in this day and age, you're right.
You're guilty till proven innocent.
Well.
And here's Bauer, who was never charged with anything, never indicted with anything, and he lost his career over this. Now, don't get me wrong. Bauer's just a bit of a whack job.
Yes.
But he's a heck of a pitcher. He was pitching for a Mexican team, and he had the Yankees and the Dodgers go down and play them, and he beat both of them. Mm-hmm. The guy just wants to get a chance to pitch again in the major leagues, as he deserves. There's no sense in what happened to him. The suspension was one thing.
Yeah.
The permanent suspension or ban or whatever.
I don't have a resolution to this or even how to conjure up something that would make sense as far as this goes. Obviously, the Me Too movement has brought up problems of men taking advantage of women. However, there is this system that you are innocent until proven guilty. We just saw that last week in a big trial. And once you're proven guilty by getting all the facts in, you're guilty. But you're absolutely right. In these particular cases, it's not the fact that these are institutions, sports institutions, that have a public image. And they do not want a player or coach or anything that would reflect negatively on that image. Now, yes, he is, in their eyes, guilty until proven innocent, but that's a private situation, right? I mean,
I would think so.
Yeah, it's a private situation as far as, you know, a team is a organization. It's not controlled by the government, and a team exercised their right to do what they wanted to do. They wanted not to have somebody who allegedly grinded a couple females on a flight.
Yeah, and there are a lot worse, you know. Flight attendants also deal with drunk people and such. Oh, and I'm sure they go through things as bad or worse than that. And what they need to do is say, stop that or else, you know.
Well, I guess they're alleging that the team didn't do anything when...
Did they report it to the team? It didn't say that.
I don't know. This guy has lost his job over it, but that's the right of the employer to do that.
It is.
I mean, he's not going to go to jail or anything like that or be indicted unless they can come up with, you know, facts that are beyond a reasonable doubt to indict him and go on, so on and so forth.
I mean, tell the guy's wife. That'll get him in enough trouble. Right?
Well, he's denying it.
Yes.
And how do you beat something when two women has accused you of doing this? Now, to what degree were these offenses? How long did they last? Was it just a brief encounter? So on and so forth. They were employees of the airline.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to be able to extort from this.
Well, it could be a case they came to the player first, and I don't know what the circumstances are.
Yeah.
Looking here, I said Kerwin. It doesn't even actually say he was charged with anything during a flight, and the team failed to supervise McManus as well as create a safe environment for the flight staff.
I don't know. I mean, you know, as a guy growing up, you could have, who knows what you, you know.
This is the defense of all guys, but to lose your job completely,
yeah,
and maybe never get hired again in the NFL.
Yeah. More likely he will not.
I mean, because he's not a megastar.
No, he's a kicker.
If he was a megastar, they would be we're going to suspend you for 12 weeks. And then,
well, look what they did with, the doofuses did with Watson. My gosh, there was 28 or whatever amount of women were involved in this massage scandal. And I don't know if it was a scandal, but it was certainly allegations by 28 different women that he abused them.
And there were no charges filed against him at any point. However, the lead detective, who was a female, said when they were in grand jury, they never called her. She was the detective in that. Mm-hmm. And they never called her to give her investigation.
Yeah. Well, I think you're absolutely right. If he was this kicker, a superstar, they would have. I don't know
he
what
spent
that,
nine. He was 2023 with the Jaguars after spending 9 seasons with Denver Broncos, whom he won a Super Bowl 50 title with.
What's his name?
McManus.
Oh, okay.
And last year he was 30 for 37 in field goal attempts. And Jaguars, they're a pretty good team. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So he made all 35 extra point attempts. Kicker signed a 1-year, $3.6 million contract with Commanders in March, which is not, in football money, isn't a whole lot.
No, a kicker, though, that's a good salary for a kicker.
It's good salary for a kicker, but yeah, it's not a lot of money.
I don't know. Obviously, the contract probably has a morals clause in it, and that I would think the Players Association would try to get his position back, but I don't know the language of the contract. I don't know if the team deemed these alleged charges credible. I don't know. It's you're right. It's so difficult to, why didn't they, I guess, and it's hard for us to judge
it,
but
right, it is.
Why didn't they say something immediately? Or I guess they said they did, and nobody did anything.
Jaguars, when was this? In 2023? That was last year.
Yeah.
And they're on their game in London.
Yeah.
So maybe they did, but it doesn't say that they did. It doesn't say that they were asked to do that. All it says is they just felt unsafe.
This is where the facts don't mean anything.
Right. Because
it's an allegation. And right, it could have happened.
Yes.
But maybe it didn't happen. You know, when you're taking these flights, you're a kicker, you probably have had a few alcoholic beverages, you let your guard down, you do stupid things.
Well, it's not just that.
Maybe. I'm not
saying it's an accident, but you know what? Those aisles aren't very wide for a football player.
Yes.
If she's standing there and he's trying to get around her.
Those are charters. They're pretty nice. But
I don't know. I've never been on a charter plane. So.
No, I haven't. No.
So, you know, if he did it, shame on him. Do I think he should necessarily lose his job over it? No. Should he be suspended? Definitely. You know, and chastise? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, come on.
But,
and again, there, it's over allegations. They're fired over allegations.
Well, the NFL has an image problem when it comes to players' relationship with partners.
Like things like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
If you're a megastar, you get super treatment. If you're not, goodbye.
Well, yeah, he got 11-week suspension.
Eleven-week suspension.
I mean, you would think, and that was.
But he didn't lose technically he lost a little bit of money.
Oh, yeah.
But he only got paid the minimum because they paid him up front.
Yeah.
For the first year. And so he only had a minimum that he got paid per game that he lost.
Yeah. No, big deal. He settled a lot of civil suits, too.
Right.
You would think that he would have had a history prior to this, maybe. I don't know. It just depends on a whole boatload of things.
Yeah, it could be by next week things come out about him, and that could be.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing in this article about previous incidents.
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, you got a private organization, a football team, acting in their best interest by not having a player who has been accused of something improper, and which is now in most companies you're employed at will. You don't need a reason to fire someone.
Right, I understand that.
But you would think that
NFL needs a reason, otherwise they got to pay off his contract anyway.
Yeah,
I would think.
I would think that they.
But then not all contracts are guaranteed.
Well, no. I mean, most contracts aren't guaranteed. But I would think losing his job, they would have to show just cause.
I would think so.
Just cause would be the facts, right?
And these aren't facts; these are allegations.
And these are allegations.
Yeah.
But he's a kicker, and there's lots of kickers.
There's a lot of kickers.
Yeah,
out there,
a lot of kickers, and it doesn't. And I'm sure in a draft or free agency, there's kickers out there galore that could replace this guy. Now, he's a proven good kicker, but they weigh that versus the Commanders have had a bad image with their owner, previous owner.
Yes, their previous owner, yeah.
I mean, he had allegations of a bad workplace for women prior to being ousted. Now they got a kicker who's been doing
except that I think that was pretty much provable.
Well, that's true, but you got this allegation and a team who just went through it with their owner. You don't want that. You just don't want that.
Except the owner got paid $1 billion, $2.5 billion to go away.
Yeah,
what a poor guy.
Yeah, but I'm sure this guy has, with all these years, has done okay.
Well, I'm sure he's done okay. Sure, yeah. He won't starve, but I just feel it's not the American way to be found.
You're talking a legal sense.
Yeah.
Legal sense, he is innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
In an employer setting, you can be guilty without having the facts. I mean, you just can. That's just the way it is.
And actually, because of that, although I never heard of it till this point, that was in the USA Today, I believe, that I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Well, I can see that. It's a question of fairness.
Because I don't do that myself. You don't do that. Most people don't do that. But one, there's worse crimes than that. Two, did they tell him to stop, or did they just wait till he got after and said, all right, that's it. I've had it. I'm done with all these guys molesting me on an airplane.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make this thing stick now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know because we don't know anything about it. But it seems
well.
Wrong.
The Trevor Bauer thing was being investigated by some governmental agency, but
it was
enough evidence there. And normally,
somebody
said you can indict a ham sandwich in front of a grand jury, and they didn't have enough evidence to
indict that ham sandwich.
No,
they didn't. Plus the fact that she has been indicted early this year. I think it was late last year. She was indicted for a couple different things, and it has to do with the lawsuit she put in against him.
Yeah.
It's
a shame. A Trevor Bauer situation is a shame. He should be given an opportunity. I don't know how you clear your name after something like that, but that's... How do you clear your name? I mean, she made some really horrible accusations against Trevor Bauer. Do you alienate as a team? Why would you want that as a team? Even though he's completely – unless you really need a pitcher. I really need a pitcher that could perform for you. you're going to have to weigh that versus the perhaps public outcry. I don't know. There's no public outcry against Watson. I mean, there has been, but they still fill the stadium. They may not like it, but they still fill the stadium. And especially if they're successful one day, I don't think they will with this guy.
No.
But if Watson takes them to the promised land, the Super Bowl, which is almost laughable in my opinion, then, oh my goodness, all is forgiven.
Yeah.
And would Bauer have that opportunity to pitch a team into the World Series and all is forgiven? I don't know. I don't know. He certainly must be getting up there age-wise. I would think he's got to be in his mid to late 30s.
If you can beat the Yankees and the Dodgers, you still got
who knows?
You still got some pitching
left. Who knows, though, the players that the
I understand.
Yankees, they certainly could have been your AAA wannabes and stuff that
I don't disagree with that, but he still did it. And how long has he been out of baseball now, technically? Major League?
He's been trying to stay in baseball. Didn't he go over to Japan?
Korea or Japan, couldn't understand a word, didn't like it there a bit. Did not adjust. He doesn't adjust to a lot of things. Very smart guy. A bit crazy. He's a bit lopsided upstairs, but he's a very intelligent guy.
He is. I mean, he's one of
the guy that builds drones for a hobby. Then he slices his finger while he's doing it.
Yeah, during the World Series.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Then he did that crazy thing where he threw the ball from the pitcher's mound out into the stands an outfield, and that was it for him.
That was it.
The next day.
He was gone. Because Terry Francona didn't tell her.
No,
he came out calmly, took him out, and I think he said something to him.
He did. And my brother said he was reading his lips and said, what the F are you doing? And he was there saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
And then he was gone.
And he was gone.
Yeah.
And it was because he was frustrated with himself.
That's true. That's true. But you don't.
You can't do that.
You don't show up to the team.
You can't do that. No.
You got to control.
And he was gone. Yep. He went to Cincinnati the next year. Oh, he got to Cincinnati. Did he go finish that year there?
I think
then
so.
Then he was with Cincinnati.
Then he went
and
out
he won
west.
A Cy Young.
Yeah, then he went out west and then the allegations. So I think he's also one of these guys that have made enough money to be fine.
Of course he has.
But he's a talent, but he's not the kind of talent you're going to risk your public relations on. You're just not going to do it, rightly or wrongly. That's just the way labor law works. The employer has rights too.
I understand that. It just doesn't seem right to me. That's all. Okay.
Well, it's called off-duty misconduct. If you are somebody who does something that off-duty, you're not working. You shoplift.
Okay.
You shoplift, and you work for a bank. Has nothing to do with what you did at the bank. But somehow the employer finds out that you did something dishonest. And a lot of times those things show up in the little blurb in a paper.
Yeah.
You can be fired for that. There's nothing to stop. They can fire you for no reason.
But if you were shoplifted, you were caught shoplifting.
Yeah.
And there may have been.
But it has nothing to do with you working at the bank, which you've never had a problem with.
Right.
So there's a lot of unfairness.
There is a lot of unfairness.
A lot of unfairness.
I like a fair world. But
what a world! What a world!
But fair is where they judge hogs, and there's only fairness in the Twilight Zone and the Outer Limits. So as we move along, we've got the 7.
I don't know how many there is here. You want to? Let's go over these things.
These are the
infamy of Ohio.
Yeah, scandals of Ohio
sports history. But number one was kind of fishy.
Yeah,
it was the walleye tournament scandal.
It is fishy.
It is definitely fishy. Yes, this is the scandal where two gentlemen, I guess, one from Pennsylvania, one from around Ashtabula, were in a fishing tournament in Cleveland, I believe, and they caught a couple of fish and they stuffed these fish with lead weights and other fillets, and the judges
Well, wow. They immediately questioned it when they pulled it up. Said, this
but they had
this weighs a lot.
They won the money though. I mean,
then they had to sew the fish back up again. You know, what's the thread there? Oh, it was something the fish was eating. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
So anyway, I think they have lost their fishing license for life.
For a lifetime. Yeah.
And they got fined. $30,000 each, or, you know, $2,500 fine. Oh. But the prize was $30,000, so they tried to, through fraudulent means, win the $30,000
which would be
walleye.
Called grand theft.
It is grand theft. But that was one of the scandals
that have raked Ohio.
But that's a relatively low scandal. I mean, but still, the integrity of fishing was at stake. Just like that young lady catching that big catfish off the shores of.
But was that even a question? I don't understand.
Just the way they said she caught it with a different type of rig.
Okay.
The other record was caught with a traditional lure. This was caught with a lead lure that dangled on the bottom. But I think they're going to grant her now this girl herself she only weighed like 120 pounds and she brings in a 100-pound catfish. I think her dad and brother were there to help out. But, I don't think that's not a scandal. That's just like a matter of.
But you know, that's the only two times we talked about fishing on this show.
Well, that's true. We remember Gaddis? Gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Yep.
I was much too young for that. But
originally I heard it with Bing and Louis Armstrong.
He sang that?
Louis Armstrong and Bing Crosby on Bing Crosby's radio show.
Gone fishing instead of just. Well, fishing is a huge activity. I mean, you go out to the Portage Lakes or any lake.
We gone fishing.
Fishing is a big thing.
Ain't working anymore.
It's mostly, you know, it's the most expensive sport that there is. You think about it.
Really?
These guys go out and buy $50,000 bass boats.
Well, okay.
And the rigs themselves.
I forgot about the boat.
The rigs and the wells and the boats and what they spend on fishing.
Yeah.
Is that's why my brother told me. He says it's the most expensive sport that there is because of what people are willing to do. Now they can use the boat for doing other things, but I've seen some of these bass fisher ladies, these boats that they get, they are pretty impressive. And, they're $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 boats. So I guess, it versus the cane pole with a string and a hook on the end with a little worm. I guess you can go cheap that way and catch fish, but.
That's what I usually do.
I go to the store. And that's how I catch my fish. I have gone fishing up there in Lake Erie with my brother on a charter. It's okay. You're out there. You're waiting.
But there's a sign upon your door. Gone fishing.
I'm real gone, man.
You ain't working anymore.
Good be.
There's your hole out in the sun where you left the row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing. By a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La. Really?
I'm wishing.
Wow. I'm amazed that you could find that.
No more work for mine.
I'm pretty impressed.
Welcome to the club.
There you go.
Yeah. On my door I'd hang a sign. Gone fishing.
There's your line.
Gone fishing instead of wishing, though, was Gadabout Gaddis.
Just a wishing.
Oh, there we go.
I'm a bang. I've stopped by your place a time or two lately, and you aren't home either.
Well, I'm a busy man, Louie. I got a lot of big deals cooking. I was probably tied up at the studio.
You aren't tied up, you dog. You're just playing old. Gone fishing. Man, sign upon your door.
Well, he can make anything sound good.
He could, couldn't he?
Yeah. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
Well, this is a lot longer than I thought we would be.
Okay. Okay, I'll take it up.
We could go the entire hour if you really want to talk about it.
No.
Go back.
Cut it down.
ARPA gas hustlers and everything else, that the rigs that they use. Anyway, depending on how serious of a fisher you are, you can spend a lot of money or a little bit of money. Anyway. Okay, the next scandal is one more, I guess, interesting. Tattoos for memorabilia.
Tattoo gate.
Yeah.
Which today would not even be illegal.
No, there was Devere Posey, Mike Adams, Boom Heron, and Terrell Pryor, and Solomon Thomas, who made an arrangement with this gentleman to get tattoos in exchange of signing trophies, jerseys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which at the time, in 2010 and 11, was a egregious violation of NCAA amateur rules. And unfortunately for Coach Jim Tressel, he knew about it, covered it up, and he paid a big price. He got fined $250,000, lost his job. The records of that year were eliminated. Their victory in a bowl game was removed. So it was a serious violation, which today would be nothing.
Yes.
With name, image, and likeness.
And not only that, now the colleges are going to be allowed to pay them on top of the NIL.
I don't know if they can rectify that like they did with the Reggie Bush, who got his Heisman back.
I think they're going to have to restore the record.
And I would certainly think that Jim Tressel should get his $250,000 back.
He should.
He should. I mean, it ruined his coaching career.
It did.
Now, he went off and became president. Well, he went to Akron University to be an assistant president and then became president of Youngstown State, where he was a coach for many, many years, so successful as a Division I-A coach that the Ohio Buckeyes hired him.
Yeah.
And he did a magnificent job.
From Youngstown, it's just amazing.
From Youngstown to Ohio State is a... But he was a great coach and
a great leader. He was just a great coach,
but
a great leader.
You know what? Under the rules of the day, he did cover it up. He did lie. The cover up is usually worse than the crime.
Yeah, it always is. Yeah.
And he should have just said, "Yeah, I know about it. What do you want me to do? I'm charged with winning football games. That's my job."
Yeah.
And I got my players getting tattoos for selling pictures of themselves with an autograph. What do you want me to do?
And it already happened by the time he knew about it.
Yeah. And I guess he should have been more forthright about his knowledge of it. But it was a scandal. It turned out to be a very, very tough punishment for Ohio State. I don't think the players really gotten. I think they may have been suspended, but they, Pryor went to the NFL, but basically
Maurice Clarett basically didn't do anything, except he goes around every preseason saying, "Don't do what I did."
Yeah, well, I think
that guy had problems. I think
that's part of the scandal here, the Maurice Clarett thing.
Is that a separate one?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, sorry about that.
The next one was the Ohio State sex abuse scandal with this Dr. Richard Strauss, who did horrible things to athletes, and the cover up once again from Ohio State. He eventually committed suicide, but I think Ohio State had to pay lots of people restitution for what they went through. So
it didn't cost Jim Jordan anything though. Who was accused of knowing what was going on.
He was the assistant wrestling coach.
And basically said that he turned his head.
Well, he thinks a lot of people are innocent.
That's true.
So this Dr. Strauss was abusing students for 20 years, from 78 to 98, before he eventually, the college was found out about it, and then he killed himself once it became known that he was having some problems. The next is we never really talked about this, but the Bishop Sycamore High School scandal.
I think we joked about it for about a minute and a half, and that was it.
This fictitious school that never existed came up with a football, high school football team that was supposed to be magnificent. And somehow they convinced ESPN to say, oh, we're one of the best teams in high school teams in the country, and had them play a school, the Florida's IMG Academy.
They were real, though, right?
Oh, they were real.
They were real.
And so Bishop Sycamore lost that game 58-0.
Oh, they were slaughtered, yes.
So
that's why we joked about them, and then we were on
the Bishop Sycamore isn't a school at all, and an investigation.
And they got ESPN coverage.
And they got ESPN coverage, and I don't think Bishop Sycamore is around anymore.
No.
And I don't know how they did this. That was quite a con job.
It was.
And so
you'd think ESPN would be a little bit more careful than
I would think so. Wouldn't you? I mean, you're going to put on national TV a team they have no idea other than what they're saying, this Bishop Sycamore, and I think they concocted records that didn't exist to show them that they were quite a – and the school had no address. You would think that, okay, let me go see your school before in your program before we put you on national TV, but they didn't do it. I don't think anything came of it as far as
– I mean, there wasn't a school. You penalize the school? Yeah, it didn't work.
I kind of like that. Bishop Sycamore. Good old
– we have a little bit of fun with it when it happened, yeah.
Next scandal was the Pete Rose gambling scandal.
Yeah, one that still haunts him and all baseball fans at this point.
He was betting big bucks on baseball between $8,000 and $10,000 a day, and which violated the Major League Baseball's rules. And now I don't know, but he was still active player or coach.
I think at that point he was still listed as a player manager, but he was just managing at that time point.
Yeah. And I don't know if he was betting on other baseball games, not his.
He was actually betting on his, but he never bet against his team.
Yeah. It's a bad image. You shouldn't do it.
You shouldn't do it. Absolutely.
But it does.
It shows a problem and an addiction he had. Yeah. And should he have been suspended? Absolutely.
He really hasn't conducted himself contrition.
He lives in Vegas. He's an addict, a gambling addict who lives in Vegas.
And he was the first Ohioan to bet on sports betting.
Sports betting.
Yeah.
Sports betting app. Yeah. And
But it doesn't dilute the fact of he was a great, great baseball player. Now, whether he should be in the Hall of Fame, I think he should for what he did on the field. But again, off the field.
Second most hits in all of baseball, most hits in National League.
Yeah.
And second longest hitting streak. In that last game that broke his streak, they didn't even pitch to him. They basically pitched around the whole time.
Yeah.
What a bunch of cowards.
Yeah. But it was a scandal. It was a big scandal.
And still is.
Yeah, and the guy's in his 80s now.
And now with baseball, having official app sponsors, the official betting app of the Cleveland Guardians and every team out there.
I forgot, Bet365 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's what it is.
I don't know. That is the official sports gambling.
Well, they say it.
Of the Cleveland.
In other words, they paid to get the official.
Yeah, I mean, they pay for that, but it is kind of hypocritical to say, well, you know, we'll be sponsored by Bet360 or whatever it is, and then have FanDuel and DraftKings also advertise
to get your money
on your sports channel that broadcasts your baseball games and say, "Oh, look at Pete Rose." No. Well, and what are they going to do? They're going to wait till the guy passes away and say, "Oh, you know, we thought better of it. We don't want to give him the credit him is due when he was around." I don't know.
Again, Bart Giamatti is the one suspended him. And usually a lifetime ban doesn't mean a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
You go in and you can, instead of 5 years, come back, let's see what we can do. And then Bart Giamatti died.
Yeah.
So his predecessors, and he's had two now, have said, "No, you're not coming back. And you had a lifetime ban."
Yes. But well, your favorite Butts League.
The pretend commissioner. He was one of them. I wasn't even counting him.
I don't know if he would have shown some remorse, some way of saying, I shouldn't have done that.
They said all he needed to do was admit to what he did.
And he won't do
it. He did. He wrote it in his book. So I admitted it in the book. That's about as public as you can get.
Well, I just wondered if the Baseball Writers Association just puts it aside one day and votes them in if Major League Baseball was saying no. I don't know. We've talked about this for years.
We have, and
I think we agree that he should be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
And it's unfortunate.
He's been popping up a lot lately on my Facebook feed with a lot of his former teammates. They're still alive, and he gets together with them wherever when they get together. They have a lot of photos and stuff, and it's kind of nice to see him and Johnny Bench seeming to get along. For a while, Bench wanted nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
And now as they're all old and see the mortality
coming. Well, it was the Big Red Machine.
It was the Big Red Machine.
And it was a tremendous baseball team. And
recently I just saw George Foster there. I hadn't heard of him for years. And, you know, I haven't seen Davey Concepcion. Tony Perez, I think, passed. Did he pass away?
I don't know.
But so many of these great players and pitchers that were on that Big Red Machine, big, powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well. The next scandal.
Next scandal.
I didn't know this was a scandal, but Brutus Buckeye.
Oh, wait, I had some.
Brutus Buckeye versus.
I had something here from Pete
Rufus
Rose, I think.
The Bobcat.
Let me see what this is. I'm not sure. I think I heard it. Really? I think it started off with Pete Rose. Let me see.
Try it. Rose!
There you go. I guess that's... Nope, that's all. Okay. They said Rose at the beginning, but it was... Pete Rose by the Hooters.
The Hooters.
The Hooters, which were, you know, saxophone and guitars. And
a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they have Hooters anymore.
Are Hooters gone?
I know at one time there was a Hooters airline.
There was.
Yeah. That probably a lot of grinding going on there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And
anyway,
that didn't go very far.
No, neither did the songs.
No, okay. And the Hooters, I think, they're rapidly losing.
Anyway, we have Brutus Buckeye. I'm sorry.
Oh, Brutus Buckeye versus Rufus. They had a fight or something that was fake. Something I don't even know this was a scandal.
It was fake, but it wasn't.
It wasn't fake, and the stunt cost the mascot his job.
Now, it was the opposing mascot, wasn't it? It wasn't the Ohio U. mascot,
it
right?
It was Rufus the Bobcat, played by Brandon Hanning.
And he schemed to get there for years to literally beat up a Brutus Buckeye.
So, he was the instigator of this scandal, and it ended up being costing...
Brutus only beat you up on the field.
Rufus the Bobcat. Well, the Buckeyes won that game 43-7. So the only thing they had going for him was Rufus the Bobcat beating up on.
Now, see, if they'd had him as linebacker, they'd been in a lot better shape.
Oh, well, that was a very minor scandal.
It was. I wouldn't even call that a scandal.
Then
but okay.
The Urban Meyer Quagmire were one of his coaches, had a domestic violence incident come to light, and he basically buried that allegation.
Well, it was, but it wasn't. I mean, having contacts in Columbus, I had our radio reading service in Columbus. He was saying, you know, they knew the couple, and she actually was quite a nut job. And so the police wouldn't prefer charges against him or anything. So it was a matter of him not coming clean on something that didn't happen. But it became a scandal.
It did.
Even though nothing happened, no charges were made, police didn't make any arrests or anything.
But both Urban Meyer and the athletic director, Gene Smith, were suspended without pay for not taking action
for something against something that didn't happen.
As these issues came to light, I failed to follow. It was spousal abuse, and they didn't, I guess, make a good faith effort to investigate it, and so that was.
Neither did the police. How's that?
Well, there you go. There you go.
Scandals that weren't. That's what this should be.
I'm just saying, it was a scandal. The Woody Bowl. 1978 Gator Bowl where Coach Woody Hayes
lost it.
He punched a player on the sidelines. And that was the end of his career.
You know what? The punching I knew about. I said, the guy was wearing pads. I said, what's your problem? But it said in the article, I think, something about him trying to choke him. You know, and that's a little different than punching a guy with shoulder pads on in the shoulder pads.
Well, he grabbed Bauman by the jersey and swung his right fist into Bauman's throat. And
into his throat.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That was the end of Woody Hayes.
That was the one. He just lost it.
Yeah,
you don't do that as a head.
No, you don't do that.
Fair.
It was Woody Hayes, but you don't. Even Woody Hayes doesn't get away with that.
Yeah. The fall of Art Schliester.
That was again. This was another gambling addict, and he
still is.
And he spent so much time in jail over this, bankrupt a couple of times, and he had a short NFL career, but he was in the broadcast booth. I thought doing okay with that, except that he couldn't stop gambling.
Yeah, his addiction, he blew through hundreds of thousands of dollars in sports, and he was drafted in the first round by the Baltimore Colts. He owed $500,000 in debt to various characters, gambling, and he just did all kinds of frauds to try and get money to pay for that. So now he unfortunately has Parkinson's disease and dementia. And it's a life that could have been very, very fruitful and turned out to be very, very bad.
Yeah.
And gambling is a function.
It's an addiction. Yeah. And an addiction is an illness.
And finally, in this particular article, the rise, fall, and rise of Maurice Clarett.
Yeah.
And outstanding year he had with the Ohio State Buckeyes.
But then, we would not have won that national championship without him.
Yeah, but then he sat out a year because he wanted to be drafted, and they wouldn't allow it.
He sued the NFL to get in.
And eventually he did get drafted in the third round in 2005. But then he got in trouble with aggravated robbery when he held two people up at the up in Columbus and got high-speed chase, all kinds of problems, had AK-47s, and while being stopped, he had an open bottle of Grey Goose vodka in his vehicle.
Maybe that's what they mean when they say you can't go home again.
I don't know. He served 3.5 years of a 7.5-year sentence, but now he's a motivational speaker. He's turned his life around and has become an entrepreneur. So that's a good story.
It is a good story.
Art Schliester is a horrible story. And Woody Hayes was a horrible. He was one of the greatest coaches of all time, and he snapped.
And what happened to Tressel and the Buckeyes was a horrible story.
So.
For something that is so small now that it isn't even on any kind of radar for anything.
You're right. You're right. I don't know if you can go back and get...
I don't think the NCAA could afford to give him his money back. I'm smirking when I say that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wait a minute. They make that every hour. So it was unfortunate, but he did lie. He did cover it up. And but it will not be problem now. And
I'm not sure, because, you know what, I understand my son, who's a little closer to Ohio State than I am, graduating from there. He said basically he was approached by the FBI, said, look, this is what's happening. We're investigating it. Do not tell anybody. And he told some boosters. He emailed some boosters. And that's where the evidence came. It was in the emails that he sent to not all, but several of the top boosters. And that's when he technically, I guess, broke the law, because he broke the protocol of what the FBI asked him not to do. What the FBI is doing, investigating, wasting their time investigating the tattoos, you know, for the NCAA. Come on.
I don't know. You would think they would have bigger fish to fry.
You would think.
The walleye fishermen should have been.
Yeah. At least that was real.
Yeah. So anyway. Those were the scandals that we didn't get to last time.
So something that isn't a scandal, but is part of Northeast Ohio baseball history. Last Thursday was the anniversary of Nickel Beer Night. And even that was a lie, because the beer was 10 cents. But they called it Nickel Beer Night because it sounds better, easier to say.
Okay, it was actually 10 cents a beer.
It was 10 cents a beer night.
What year was that?
It's been 50 years.
50 years?
50 years since Nickel Beer Night.
Wow.
When you could actually probably sell beer for nickel and still make money on it. It started, it actually started with the idea to sell beer for a dime. What could go wrong, right? What happened was it was against the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. And towards the end, when the fans were all throwing their bottles onto the field and pelting, all that then the Indians then and the Rangers were huddled together to get them everybody safely into the tunnels. Cleveland lost that game by forfeit. I think they were... not sure if they were up or not. I think they might have been up. Or probably down, but anyway. For the record, Stroh's beer, normally 65 cents at the ballpark then. 65 cents.
Yeah.
Reports look back saying that they were 8, 10, or 12-ounce cups. It was 3.2% alcohol. On this particular night, you could go to the stadium for the exact amount you would pay for a first-class stamp, have a beer to quaff, to cool off from the 82-degree heat. Pat Conway, who 14 years after the game would co-found the Great Lakes Brewing Company, was in the bleachers. A drunken girl in front of him stood up, lifted her dress, and displayed a garter on her right thigh. Someone suggested he tuck a dollar in. I can't, he replied. That would be 10 beers.
They never did that again, did they?
They did not.
I don't know if any team emulated that before that happened. I don't know. What's 10 cents? 50 years ago, 10 cents would be right around a buck now, right? A buck?
Yeah, we wouldn't mind a buck beer, would we?
Well, what happens now is on these...
1974, that's when this happened.
Yeah. On these... special occasions where they have fireworks, dollar dogs, they usually have $2 bill beers, but they cut the $2 beers off at the time the game starts.
Okay. Yeah.
So you can only get two. So, you don't see a lot of drunkenness at a baseball game. You don't like a football game. I mean, football games, half of everybody in the football game is sloshed when they get there.
Because, before they get in there.
Because they have the
tailgates. They have to be poured into their seats. Yeah. It's interesting here. It was my first trip to Cleveland, said Mike Hargrove, a rookie with Texas, who later played for the Cleveland and managed the Indians. I'd never been to Cleveland. It was my first impression of Cleveland, and I came away not really impressed. I don't remember being shocked or scared until it was all over with, until we were in the clubhouse, and I realized how dangerous it was, and felt very fortunate for everybody to get out of there relatively unharmed.
Well, they gave them the bottles, right?
Yes. They gave them the bottles.
See, now they put it in a cup.
In a plastic cup.
Yeah, so
plastic cups don't hurt too hard.
No, they don't. And by the time it gets to the player, it's poured out.
Yes, yeah.
But... well, that was a...
There you go. In the second inning, a woman ran onto the field, and using Cleveland's on-deck circle as her stage, she lifted her top, you know?
Well, those are...
Didn't have anything to do with alcohol or anything, yeah.
That was 1974.
That's
the year I was born.
They were throwing firecrackers into the bullpen from the upper deck. Oh, my goodness.
Was that Stroh's?
Is that what it was?
I thought you said Stroh's went for 65 cents. I didn't know.
Yeah, it was Stroh's. It was Stroh's. Yeah,
oh,
you're right.
Oh, my gosh. I remember having a Stroh's. You ever have Stroh's? It's the fire brewed beer. It's awful.
I have not. In a day and age when it was in vogue to keep a kill the mentality, what the era didn't embrace that. Hargrove remembers Charlie fondly. I felt like he was a really good umpire. His patience wasn't very long. He got hit with a chair. I like Nestor a lot. I really respect him as an umpire. Oh, my goodness. Between alcohol-soaked atmosphere, there was a game. It was a decent one. In the ninth, George Hendrick scored on Ed Crosley's single. Cleveland's Allen Ashby batted for Frank Duffy and beat out an infield hit to load the bases. And John Lowenstein came to the plate. Fight song music and played, and with a 3-2 count, he lofted a sacrifice fly. Crosby scored, and the game was tied at 5.
No.
File the next moment under the one bad apple syndrome. Fans raced to the field, several intent on ripping the cap off Rangers right fielder Jeff Burrows. At this time, the Indians left-hander reliever Tom Henford was hit by a steel folding chair. He was not hurt badly, and a month later, he saved a boy from drowning. And it goes on to the umpire Nestor Chilock, who earned a silver star in Purple Heart serving in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II, was also injured. You know, so it was the Battle of the... He was in the Battle of the Bulge and in the Battle of the Beer.
Well, just tells you that alcohol gives you some liquid courage, doesn't it?
To do stupid things,
stupid
yeah.
Stupid things, so...
So many things seem like such a better idea when you got too much alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. So, they don't do that anymore. They don't do... But they do have promotions that give you relatively cheap beer prior to the game, and then after the seventh inning, they cut you off.
They cut off all the alcohol sales, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. But our Guardians are just doing fantastic.
They are. We got just a couple minutes to talk about the Guardians.
We are, as we speak, 4 games ahead of the Kansas City going into a series tonight against Kansas City, 3-game a series.
Well, if we take 2 out of 3 of these, we'd be sitting pretty. And we had to say, well, it's only April. It's only May. You know what? It's only June now.
A third of the season.
Yeah.
And... You know, the collapse that everybody's anticipating hasn't occurred. We've gotten very good starting pitching. Carrasco from time to time just gives you 5.
Cookie's still got over a 5 ERA, but what are you going to do?
Gavin Williams is not ready to pitch yet. So, but, you know, Tristan McKenzie and Bybee is doing an excellent job. And Ben Lively. Guy we never heard of is having the best career of his life in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
And who else? Logan Allen is having a good year. So, but guess who has the best bullpen in the major leagues? Cleveland.
Wow.
Yeah. Who and, of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly are coming here soon.
So, yeah.
They're fun to watch. They didn't, but they're taking series after series after series.
Right.
Which is the big thing. So.
You win the series and it'll get you closer to playoffs.
Yeah, I'd love to sweep Kansas City, but
I'll take 2 out of 3. I'm not greedy.
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
I was abducted by aliens.
Was you now?
Yeah, they made me wash my hands.
Uh-oh.
Clean my room.
Uh-oh.
And eat my vegetables.
Oh, no.
Turns out I was on the mothership.
The mothership. I like that. I like that. All right. All right. That'll hold us till next week when we come back with more. A sports sidebar.